Very much this morning. I appreciate even more the assurance that we can have the arms of the Lord underneath us, that He can carry us, that He can help us in every time of need. Dear ones, that is a blessing that is given to the children of God that we should never take for granted. And I'm very, very grateful for that this morning. Appreciate the privilege to be here in Oklahoma City again. And I trust that the Lord will bless our time here together this morning. Certainly feel in need of the Lord's help. Would like to write something on the board. Hopefully I spelled all that right. I have written the words, if you can't see them, because of me standing here. A famine in the land of plenty. I desire your prayers that the Lord would help us to bring out the burden that He has laid on our heart. When Sister Maxine called, she said that you all were having these services in lieu of a revival. And as the Lord began to talk to me about this burden, I began to understand. And I thought, well, Lord, no doubt that's why you're burden me the way that you are. I believe it's a challenge, but I also believe that it's encouragement from the Lord. You know, I found that that's the way the Lord works. When He comes and He talks to our hearts, He challenges us, He chastens us, but at the same time, He always encourages us. And that's the way the Lord is. And I'm thankful for that. And I appreciate it very much. I would like to start by noticing a scripture in Psalms, the 33rd chapter. In Psalms, the 33rd chapter in the 18th verse, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." I'm very thankful this morning for scriptures like this. Yes. For the assurance in knowing that His eye is upon us. When we, as it says, fear Him and hope in His mercy. To have the assurance of knowing that He is watching over us in order to, as it says, deliver our soul in death and keep us alive in famine. Yes. Dear ones, I believe with all my heart that God does not want a single one of us to perish because of the famine that is in our land today. Amen. That's how much He loves us. The word famine, I looked it up, and it says, Webster gave this, an extreme scarcity of food in the land, a shortage. Now, I would say that probably most of you and most people, it would be hard to convince them that there is a concern of that in our land today. Yes. We live in a land of abundance. Yes. I don't know the area around here very well, but I would venture to say that there's probably a number of convenience stores, grocery stores, perhaps even a Walmart Supercenter and a Sam's or something like that within 15, 20 minute radius of this area. And when you walk into those places, the shelves are lined with groceries and products of all kinds. You know, we've had droughts here in Oklahoma that have lasted for, seemed like a few years, just hardly no rain. But you know, I doubt any of us really, other than our yards and things like that, suffered very much. Because even if the farmers suffered here, because of the abundance in our land here today, there's things shipped in from all over the place. And there's food everywhere. But you know, I'm thinking about a different kind of famine. And if you'll turn with me to Amos, the 8th chapter, these are all very familiar scriptures. In Amos, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse, the prophet said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, you might be thinking, well, I don't even know that that's a concern in our land of plenty today. It seems like there are churches on about every corner. I didn't count them, but from 35 to coming here this morning, we passed I don't know how many churches. So it's not necessarily a lack of being able to hear the word of God in our land today, because this is a Christian nation. But perhaps it's more of a lack of desire to hear the word of the Lord. Or perhaps it's a failure to allow the word of God to be able to have its perfect effect in our hearts. Yes. This is what happens. Do you know that you can take and you can look out across our land and there's all kinds of means and methods of being able to bring forth the word of God. It's preached on almost every form of media that there is. TV, radio, you can get them on YouTube, you can get them in all of social media, you can go online to churchofgod.com and you can listen to hours and hours of messages on almost every line. And I'm thankful for that. So it's not a lack of the Word of God being available, but it's the concern is, what are we doing with that Word? How is it being applied to our hearts? Do you know it's possible for a person to starve to death in the land of plenty?
Yes.
If a person fails to avail themselves of all the food, the abundance that's in our land today, or if for whatever reason that food fails to agree with them,
yes,
and they can't take it for whatever reason, do you know they can starve right in the midst of plenty? It happens many times. And dear ones, we're in a famine in our world today. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who are perishing spiritually because of these very reasons. When I looked at the word famine, it also gave several words that were synonymous with famine. And I'm not going to read all of these, but I wrote them down because I want us to get a hold of something here. And it said dearth, deficit, drought, failure, deficiency, inadequacy, insufficiency, lack, poverty, scarceness, shortage, undersupply, want. These are all words that mean the same thing as famine. And so I would like to ask us a question this morning that I'd like for each and every one of us here to consider for just a little bit. When you hear these words, famine, failure, inadequacy, scarceness, a lack, shortage, or want, does that describe your experience? Literally or spiritually? Is there needs in your life that are not being fulfilled? When you look at your spiritual condition and you look at your natural condition, are there things that when you look at this and you say, I've got a lack, I've got a want, there's a shortage of something. Maybe it's grace, maybe it's love, maybe it's tenderness, maybe it's patience. Is there something that, and I'm talking about as we ask ourselves these questions, Lord, help us to be honest. Do I find a lack? Do you find times where you feel like you're just going through a dry spell, a drought, a famine? When you look at your experience and you honestly ask yourself or evaluate your spiritual condition, are there times when you have to say, I'm just not really experiencing those showers of blessings from the Lord that I once felt? When you look at your life, are there times when you look around and you say, It just seems like everything is getting dry and barren. You understand what I'm saying? You look at other people's lives and you see from their testimonies, you hear messages, you hear exhortations, and they just don't have that real fervency that you once thought of them that way. They don't stir you like they once did. When you look around, and I'm asking us to examine our hearts this morning. When you look around, do you feel like, you know, there just doesn't seem like there's as much fruit being produced in my life or in the lives of those around me like there once was? Do you know, dear ones, if this describes your condition spiritually, then it's a pretty good indication that at a minimum, you're going through a drought. Yes. And you know, a drought, if it is prolonged, will lead to a famine. And remember what Webster say here of a famine? It said a shortage, a lack, a deficiency, a want. Do you know a famine will cause a lack in our individual lives? And that will affect the congregation?
Yes.
When we have a lack in our life, it will impact those around us. You know, there's signs that you can tell if a congregation is experiencing a drought or a famine, there will be a lack. When it's time, and I don't know anything about the congregation here, so I can't be pointing any fingers, but when it's time to pray, there's long pauses because there is not that burden to lead out in prayer. When it's time to testify, you find that you have to almost pump to get people to get up and thank the Lord and praise Him. Do you know, dear ones, our God has done so much for us. Every week, every day, we should have a testimony of thanksgiving to God. And when there is a famine or a drought that we're going through, it becomes difficult to stand up and say, I've got a burning testimony on my heart. When there is a lack, when there is a famine or a drought in a congregation, it becomes evident because it becomes harder and more difficult to find workers for the Lord. Sunday school teachers. People to just clean the floors and wash the windows, whatever has to happen. Minister, you see what I'm saying? This is not just for us here, dear ones. This is what the Lord gave me, but I believe it goes for the church. Amen. Lord, help us. When there is a famine, when there is a drought, there are signs that will begin to show up and it will begin to affect. You know, when there is a famine, God will use the famine many times to accomplish the work that He wants to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you, God does not want His children to remain in that condition. While God will use a famine, He does not want you and I to remain in that condition. And I want you to know this morning, if you find yourself in this place and you honestly evaluate and you say, you know, I'm saved, but I'm not feeling those showers of blessings that the Lord wants bestowed upon my life. I don't feel that real burning testimony anymore. I want to encourage you that when you feel that, don't stay in that place. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to succumb to that famine. Because while God will take and He will use a famine to further His cause, He does not want us to stay there. I want to turn over to Philippians, the 4th chapter. You pray for me this morning. Philippians, the 4th chapter, in the 19th verse. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Dear ones, our God has an unlimited supply of everything that we need. He is also able to do, as the scripture says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's important for us to remember that, because there's going to be times the devil's going to challenge that into our hearts and minds. The prophet Jeremiah said over here in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, in the 27th verse, he said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" If you're here this morning and you're suffering a drought, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, I want to encourage you this morning to remember this. Our God is still on His throne. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He still has all power in heaven and earth. If you're experiencing a dry spell in your life, and that dry spell has extended to a famine, and you begin to, as you examine your heart and life, you begin to recognize that there are lacks in my life, I want to encourage you this morning, don't succumb to that drought. Don't allow the devil to destroy you. And don't listen to the enemy when he tries to convince you that you're the only one that ever goes through something like that. I'm not going to tell you that you'll never experience that, because you will. But I am going to say God does not want you to stay in that condition. I'd like to turn now over to Genesis, the 12th chapter. I'd like to look at some scriptures here in Genesis, and there'll be some reading here that in order to lay the foundation for what the burden the Lord has been talking to me about this week. And I'd like to start in the 10th verse of the 12th chapter of Genesis. It says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." If you read on down, and I won't because that clock's going to keep rolling, you'll find that Abram was fearful for his life. And the reason was because apparently the men of that land in Egypt were very wicked. And they would kill a person in order to take their wife if they found them pleasing in their sight. And so Abram was fearful that they would kill him. Sounds like a pretty wicked place, doesn't it? Do you know, dear ones, sometimes we look around our world today and we think it's getting awful wicked, and it is. But you know, I would say probably none of us in here have ever had to worry about somebody killing us in order to take our companion. I say that to say this: sin is exceeding sinful. Yes. Always has been. The devil's purpose and his goal has always been to steal, to kill, and destroy, regardless of the time that we live in. And so, when you and I look at this, we recognize that the same devil that was working to destroy Abraham and others back there is out to destroy us today. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is still on His throne. And we need to remember that. When I look at this, it goes on down here, and it talks about how that Abram, it says that Pharaoh, in the 16th verse of this 12th chapter, it tells how that Pharaoh entreated Abram very well because of his wife Sarah. He looked at her and he saw and he thought she was his sister, and he began to just bestow things upon him. And if you look at this, it says in the 16th verse, "And he treated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels." You know, Abram went down to Egypt because of a famine. Yes. But it sounds like he was doing pretty well, wasn't he? But I want you to notice something. God doesn't leave him in Egypt. If you go on down through this, you'll find where when Pharaoh learned that Sarah was his wife, he told the men, "Send him on. Get him on out of here." Do you know the reason? God had something more in mind for Abram. This was just a temporary stopping place along the way. And God used the Egyptians to provide Abram things that he would need. I want you to remember that because it's important. Now I want to turn now to the 26th chapter of Genesis. In Genesis, the 26th chapter in the first verse, and it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abram. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." Now this was Abraham's son, Isaac. But I want you to notice there was a famine in the time of Isaac as well.
Yes.
But there was something different here. Isaac didn't go down to Egypt like his father did. Instead, he went to the land of the Philistines. And it says in the second verse, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the countries, these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abram thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws." I want us to notice here, first of all, in this last part, there was a reason why God blessed Abraham. It was because Abraham was faithful to God. And dear ones, it's for that reason that God will bless us as well.
Yes.
He's looking for faithfulness and obedience in our life. Here we find in the story of Isaac, Isaac also experienced a famine in the land in his time. And as you look at this, Isaac was, he didn't go down, as I mentioned, into Egypt, but he went to the land of the Philistines. Do you know, dear ones, our God has a master plan. It would do as well to remember that. I realize that sometimes it's hard for our finite minds to comprehend this. And why God does what he does and why he permits what he does sometimes. But I want to ask you, have you ever known, have you ever read where God made a mistake? He hasn't. What that should do, dear ones, is it should inspire us to have faith in the wisdom of God, just like Abraham did. Because we're going to go through some things in our lives where we're going to be challenged, where we're going to experience times of famine in our lives, and we're going to have a confidence in God, an assurance in the wisdom of God that, Lord, I'm going to trust you regardless. And that's what it's going to take. I look down here, and as I look at this story, you'll find this story is very similar to that of Abraham, so I'm not going to read it. But you look in the seventh verse, and you'll find as you go on down through there where Isaac also feared for his life because of the same reason. He was afraid that the men of the land would slay him in order to take his wife because she was fair to look upon. I mention this because this was a whole different nation. This was not the Egyptians. This was the Philistines. This was a totally different generation of people. Abraham and his generation and all those Egyptians, they were gone. And now it's a different generation. But dear ones, the circumstances were similar. I mention that because I want us to understand the enemy of our soul will use the same tactics that he used on our forefathers to try to destroy us if he can. But I also want us to understand and remember. I know we know this, but I want to emphasize it to us this morning. Our God is still on his throne. Dear ones, the God of Abraham was just as faithful to Isaac as he was to Abraham. And he blessed Isaac just as he did Abraham. And there was a reason, and it was because Isaac was faithful to God, just like his father was. Do you know, when I look at these things, this is why I'm encouraged to have the Word of God. Because when I face things in my life, I can begin to delve into the Word of God and I'll find similar situations. Yes, different generation, different time. But the circumstances many times are the same.
Yes.
And when I look at those, I can find how those people overcame. And it gives me what I need to overcome in the world today. Do you know, dear ones, that's why the devil fights so hard to keep people from hearing the word of God? To keep it from having its effect upon their lives like God wants it to do. Because when you and I get a hold of some of these things that God has given us in his word, it will inspire our faith in the time of trials and affliction. It will give us courage when the enemy comes in like a flood. Then I look back and I can say, I remember Daniel. I remember the three Hebrews. I remember Joseph and what he went through. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it gives me that same courage and it gives me that same determination I can go through too. Yes, it's totally different generation. The circumstances are, the world is totally different than it was back then. But I'm going to tell you, we face the same devil,
yes.
But we also have the same God. When I look at this, Isaac had to deal with those same fears that Abraham did. But he also had the same God that Abraham did. And he was able to overcome just like Abraham did. And dear ones, I want to encourage you this morning. You and I can overcome as well, just like they did.
Yes, amen.
We'll come back to Isaac in a minute. I want to talk just a little bit about Jacob. I won't turn there. You can find it in the 41st chapter of Genesis if you want to read it. But I don't have time. When you look at the story of Jacob, I think most all of us are familiar with the story of Jacob. You will find that there was a sore famine in the time of Jacob as well. It lasted for 7 years, didn't it? Very sore famine. Now, this happened in Jacob's time. Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And I point this out because I want us to get a hold of a pattern here. There was a famine in every one of their lifetime. More than one sometimes. When you look at the story of Isaac, you will find Isaac had two famines. The one I told about earlier, and now here, that in Joseph's time before Isaac died, he was facing one at the latter end of his life as well. Dear ones, you and I are going to face some famines in our time as well. But what I want us to do here, notice, is how that it was in every one of their lives. But I also want us to recognize something even more important. And that is how God used those famines to get his children in the place that he wanted them to be in order that he might be able to bless them. Think about this. When you look at Abraham, God used a famine to get Abraham to move down into Egypt, where he used the Egyptians, the very ones that Abraham feared would take his life, to be a blessing to him. When you look at Isaac, God used a famine to get Isaac to move to the land of the Philistines, the people that Isaac feared would take his life. And yet that's the place where God blessed him richly. Let's look at that just a little bit. In the 26th chapter of Genesis, in the 12th verse, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him." Do you know, dear ones, many times the enemy of our soul will cause us to fear or to draw back from the very thing that God wants to use to bless our lives. And the reason is because Satan does not want us to be in the place where God can pour out his blessings upon us. This is why I said earlier, God will sometimes use famines to accomplish his purpose. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He just simply wants us, he wants to use it to get us to move to the place where he can take, as he did with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, where he can pour out a blessing upon us. Lord, help us. I want to challenge us this morning. If you find yourself in a place where you have honestly been searching your life and you begin to recognize that there's some lacks, there's some needs that are not being met, there is a drought that you're going through, you're experiencing a famine in your life, I want to challenge each one of us this morning not to let that to discourage us. Because the Lord is wanting to take and use those things and bring us to a place where the Lord can pour out His blessings upon us. It's not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to listen to the suggestions of the enemy when he comes along and begins to point out your faults and your failures and your lacks. Or the lacks of others, or the lacks of the church. Instead, it's a time for you and I to begin to seek God with all of our heart. Amen. Lord, what do you have of me? What do you want of my life? Yes. You know, it may be that the Lord will come along and say, it's time for you to move. Now, I'm not just meaning literally, it can be that way. If the Lord sees that we're not in the place that He wants us to be in, He can do with us just like He did with Abraham and said, I want you to be here. But I'm thinking more about moving spiritually. Yes. Because the Lord will come by and He'll knock on our heart's door and He says, you've been there too long. It's time for you to move spiritually because I want you to come along to this place where I can open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you can't hardly contain. Do you know sometimes the Lord may want to use us like He did Abram, like He did Isaac, to move us into the place spiritually where He can bestow the blessings that He is longing to bestow upon our life. Those showers of blessings. He's saying, my child, I've got something for you if you could just see what I've got. But you're going to have to get to this place spiritually in order for me to be able to give it to you. Do you know there's times when the Lord will come by and He wants us to move to a place, to a position in the Lord to where He can use us to be a blessing to others just like He did Joseph. Do you know Joseph had to go from a place where he was at Father's house. He had to go through a lot of things and end up in jail, but He had to take him out of jail and He used the famine to bring Joseph out of jail to put him in a place where he could bless multitudes of people. Yes. Do you know sometimes the Lord has to move us to a position, to a place where He can use us to be a blessing to those around us. Yes. But many times we draw back. Lord,
preach? Oh no.
Lord, teach Sunday school. Lord, get up and test it. Lord, go out on the mission field or just on the job. Do you see what I'm saying? The flesh many times draws back. And the Lord's saying, I want you to be in a place where I can use you to be a blessing to multitudes of people. It may be through a trial of affliction. You say, Lord, not that. But I'm going to tell you, it takes it some time for the Lord to be able to take. This ties with the Sunday school lesson this morning. I didn't know what Brother Lauren was going to. He skipped back how many lessons? The Lord knows. Do you see, dear ones, God wants us in a place where He can use us to be a blessing to the world around us. I'm reminded of something that Brother Isaac Chandler said. I heard it in a message that I listened to, I don't know, it's been a number of years ago, and I hadn't thought about it until the Lord began to talk to me this week. I had written it down, and so I began to go back and look, and I wrote it down here this morning because I want to read it to you so that I don't get it incorrect. He was speaking of a famine, and he said, a congregation or assembly could break a spiritual famine in 24 hours if everyone, without exception, would humble themselves and examine their own hearts and lives. I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty powerful statement. The Lord brought that back to my mind as he was talking to me about this message. And dear ones, I want to challenge us. Lord, help us to search. He said, every one of us. That doesn't exclude the ministers. I'm going to tell you, through what we've been going through in the church, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, help me that there be nothing in my life that would hinder you from being able to bestow your blessings upon us. I've been asking, Lord, search me. Help me to understand. Why do we need to search our own hearts and lives? I'm going to tell you why, dear ones. Because if there is a lack, if there is a famine that is impacting us individually or the church collectively, it's very likely because Satan is doing the very same thing that he did in Isaac's time. If you look there in the 15th verse, he said, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Dear ones, the enemy is using a lot of things to stop up the wells today. Yes. And they're not all wrong. But they're things that are hindering the Lord from being able to bestow his blessings upon his people. Yes. It can be anything. I can be living for the Lord, but I refuse to move spiritually to the place that the Lord wants me to be. I can be living for the Lord, but the Lord comes by and he sends messages, he sends testimonies, exhortations, and I refuse to humble myself and begin to search my heart. And Lord, where am I? Lord, what about the blessings in my life? Are they there? Lord, is there something that's hindering me and therefore hindering the congregation of the people of God? Dear ones, it's not enough for us to point to the blessings that God has bestowed upon our forefathers. It's not enough for us to tell of the healings and the miracles and the times when the Lord came down and anointed in the services and the Spirit of God worked so richly. It's not enough for us to be able to point to those things and say, this is what God has done for us, for our people. It's not enough for us to say we're the church of God. We must have the Spirit and presence of God in our assemblies. In our individual lives, the only way we can have it in our assemblies is if we, as the people of God, get in a place where we humble ourselves before God and the presence of God comes down richly and fills my soul. When I come to prayer meeting, I've got a testimony that is alive and I can tell you, this is what God did for me. When I come to service and is there, there's a prayer, there's a song, there's something that's burning on my heart. You see, this is what it takes for the Spirit of God to come down. It's not just one person. It's not two people, but collectively, as the people of God, when we come, it takes more, dear ones, than just saying, I'm the church of God. I'm a member. This is what God did for brother so-and-so. I'm going to have to say, this is what God is doing in my life and what he's doing in our midst. And I'm going to tell you, God is still on his throne. He still wants to work in our assemblies and in our world today, just like he's always worked. Dear ones, that may mean that we're going to have to do what Isaac did of old. And if you go on down in the 17th verse, it says, and Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Dear ones, this is the burden that is on my heart this morning. I'm very interested in you and I finding those wells of springing water that is just bubbling up within our souls, that the Spirit of God is burning in our individual hearts and lives, where it makes a difference in the congregation, in our community, in our world in general. I am interested, dear ones, in you and I being able to dig out the wells that the enemy is trying to stop up in our time today. Things that God has worked. I hear sometimes, and you bear with it, I hate to hear this. I hear people say the Lord's not doing this and He's not doing that like He did. If He's not, dear ones, it's our fault. Because we've got to dig the wells. If there's things that's hindering, those wells, God intends for them to spring up and to flood our souls. And if He's not working, that tells me. I can't point at anybody else, but it tells me, and this is what I've been doing, is I've been asking God, Lord, help me to tarry before You until You can pour out Your Spirit richly upon my life. Do you know what I found? God doesn't take most of the time, I'll put it this way. He doesn't take and deal with us about other people's faults and failures. And He doesn't penalize us most of the time for other people's faults and failures. Most of the time He reveals things to me that I can do. And when I do that, then the Lord will come down and He'll bless in my life. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You look back through this. There was a famine that was sore in the land. It affected many people. What God did was He told Abraham, here's what you do. He told Isaac, here's what you do. He took Joseph and He said, I want to get him. You're going to have to go through this and you're going to have to go over here because there's going to be two people that's going to be in jail that's going to open the door for you to get into the place that I can use you. But you're going to have to humble yourself to get down to that point.
Yes.
Do you know how difficult it would have been for Joseph, a Canaanite, an Israelite, or not a Canaanite, but an Israelite down in Canaan to take and come to Egypt and to be made second in command to Pharaoh himself? It'd been impossible. But God took him down through a humble route that nobody else would have thought of.
Yes.
And He brought him into a position where He could take and be a blessing. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God wants to get you and I into a place where He can use us, not just to bless us, but to bless the world around us. But it's going to take us coming through that place of humility before the Lord, where the Lord can break famines, where the Lord can take our enemies. Remember I said how it's important to remember this? God used the Egyptians to bless Abraham. He used the Philistines to bless Isaac. He used the Egyptians to bless Joseph.
Yes.
The very things that you and I fear, God can use those things and turn them into a blessing. Not only for us, but to those around us. Lord, help us. I realize that just as with Isaac, we live in a different generation. I realize that it's a totally different world than it was back then. But dear ones, I want to remind us, the circumstances are very similar. We face the same devil that they faced. He will use the same tactics on you and I, on the church today, that He used way back then. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we serve the same God. I know I've said this, but I'm going to repeat it again. He has the same power that He had when Abraham was here. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, without exception, that we ask or think. But dear ones, we're going to have to be in the place, individually and collectively, for the Lord to come down and be able to bless us. Do you think that God would have caused the Egyptians? He could have. I understand this. To take and give Abraham all he needed if he'd stayed over there in the Canaan land? He wouldn't. He let him go down there because He wanted to use them to bless. He let Isaac go over to this place because he wanted to bless. He had a master plan in place. And dear ones, God has a master plan in our lives as well. I hope this morning that you understand the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart. And that is Dear ones, we're going to all experience times of famine.
Yes.
In our world, in our generation. We're going to all experience some times of drought.
Yes.
Of dryness. In our own individual lives. You said, Brother Curtis? No. We're going to experience those. We live in a world where there is a famine. And it will impact us. But dear ones, that's not the place that God wants us to stay in. And I hope and pray that the Lord will convey the message to us this morning is we need not be discouraged. And we need not just turn and say, well, I've got to have a testimony that I am never in a place of dryness. Because I'm going to tell you, if you do, you're going to fail to humble yourself and get to the place that God has for us. I'm going to tell you, there's been some times that I've gone through some dry times.
Yes.
And I had to humble my heart before the Lord and weep before the Lord and get to the place to where the Lord wanted me to be in. And then the showers of blessings began to come.
Yes.
Dear ones, it's nothing to be ashamed of to acknowledge the condition that we're in. But it's a terrible thing to stay in that condition. God may use those famines. He may use those droughts and those dry times to get us to move to the place that He wants us to be in. But He will never intend for you and I to stay in those. What did He say? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Dear ones, I firmly believe that the Lord has blessings for the church today. I recognize, and it would be foolish for us not to, but I recognize that the church is facing some very hard things in our time today. There are trials, there are battles, there are things that in our finite minds, sometimes we look and say, Lord, why? Why are these things happening? Why are things not changing? Lord, why are you not working? But I want to encourage our hearts this morning. I believe with all my heart that the same God that used a famine to move Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the place that He wanted them to be in order to bless them and to bless others still wants to bless the church today. So it's not a time to be discouraged. Instead, it's a time for you and I to do as Brother Chandler said, humble our hearts before the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I don't know why all this is, but Lord, I want you to search me. And I want you to help me to know what you want me to do so that I can be in the place where the blessings of God can come down. And He can not only bless me, but He can bless the congregation, He can bless the church, and He can bless souls that are lost, that are headed to a devil's hell. Dear ones, this is what God wants to do for you and I. He loves us. He cares for us. And my burden this morning is, Lord, help us as His people to humble our hearts and begin to seek the Lord until He can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we can't contain. I firmly believe, dear ones, that God has those things for this generation. It didn't just stop with Abraham. It didn't stop with Isaac. It didn't stop with our forefathers. God wants to bless His church all the way until He comes back. And it's available for us if we'll do as we read in the Scriptures and we'll be obedient to God and we'll humble our hearts before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Amen.
When we do, I believe with all my heart, God will meet us. He said, prove me now herewith,
yes,
saith the Lord. If I will not open the windows of heaven and bless you, pour out a blessing. I believe the Lord wants to bless this congregation.
Yes.
I believe the Lord wants to bless every congregation.
Yes.
I believe the Lord wants to have mercy on the souls that are out there that are dying. But He needs a people that He can use to do that. And this is the people that God wants to take and pour His blessings upon. You pray for me.